Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, brother, I'm going to ask you to come on up and give you the freedom and liberty to share whatever the Lord has placed upon your heart. Hallelujah.
Greetings in Jesus' name. Amen. Such a joy to be here once again, and thanks to Pastor Eugene for letting me to minister, and your wife. Thank you for all the church leadership. And it's nice to have a few of our friends here. We have been visiting now from a couple of years, and now we have made a few friends in the Lord, and we just want to thank God for that. So myself, I arrived in India on the 2nd of January. We've been ministering in different states, and then went to Canada and again came back. Supposed to leave back on the 5th of March, but we have to extend our trip again, and we are going to Kansas for a few days. So we are traveling around so many places, and we are seeing that God is moving in the lives of people. Doesn't matter how bad news you hear all around, but there are many good news that God is still moving in this world. Amen. So excited to be here once again this morning, and I have a word in my heart to share. But before that, I just want to say, even as many of you are going through hard times, and I was thinking as I was sitting, and I was just thinking of, like, you know, Bible says all things work together for good. And then I was thinking of, there are people who have done a mistake, and they have people who will say, I've not done any mistake. Why did this happen to me? You know, some problems come in our life because we made a mistake. And some problems come because we have not made a mistake, but we are living in a sinful world, a fallen world, where devil is moving and all those things are happening, and we know we are in a warfare and all those things. So some people will say, I never made any mistake. Why did this happen to me? For those people, I want to say, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. But what about those people who've done a mistake, who think this happened to me because I made a mistake like King David? For them also, there is a hope. If we repent of our sins, God is able to turn around your situation and make it for good. Amen? So that's how awesome our God is. So I have a word in my heart, Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. And I believe this is for you all, and this is the need of the hour, and this is what we have to believe in and trust in and walk into. Now, Abraham, if we can show on the screen, please. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. You've closed it. It's okay. Now, Abraham was old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. In all things. You know, sometimes we see people, you know, Bible says, blessed are those whose sins are forgiven. Yeah, that's a blessing. But maybe they'll be sick in their body, and maybe the family is living in brokenness. And some people, they have money, a lot of money, no forgiveness. There are people who have received forgiveness, they have a lot of money, but the family is so broken. You know, sometimes we see in one area of our life that we see a blessing, but in another area of our life, we see brokenness, or, you know, we see that there is no blessing in that area. You know, so one side people are blessed, on other side maybe they are not blessed. But the desire of God for your lives is for you to be blessed in every area of your life. May it be finances, your family life, your married life, your children. When you look at them, you'll say, wow, God, thank God you've blessed them so much and your hand is upon their life. So that is the desire of God for each and every one of you. And Bible also says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, I'm sure you know those verses. There it talks about Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham. What is the blessing of Abraham? Blessed in everything. Every area of your life. That's how God blessed Abraham. So in every area of your life, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the first thing is that we have to have faith in God and a desire that God, if you can do that in the life of Abraham, so am I ready to be blessed in every area of my life. Amen. So that is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. You know, though we know Abraham's story, how he started in Genesis chapter 12, we see his story and how God asked him to leave his country, leave his kindred and all that. And he started walking with God. And one thing God asked him, leave your relatives and move forward. And verse 4 says in 12:4, then now Abraham went, as the Lord said, but Lot went with him. So God asked him to leave all the relatives behind. And, you know, sometimes we see people, they fully don't obey God. They go obey God in one area of their life, but on other side, we see they are not doing what God asked them to do. That's why when you read in Genesis chapter 13, there we see now there was a problem in the family. You know, now there was the problem between the servants of Lot and servants of Abram, because now there was a fight going on. They had a lot of sheep, a lot of flock, and maybe that time Abraham understood a little, oh man, God said, leave your relatives. But I walked emotionally. I was so emotionally attached with my relative that I wanted him to go with me. And now that has become a reason of pain in my life. So then, you know, Abram, he was called Abram by that time. So he stood up, he said, okay, choose the land, whatever you want to choose, and go to the area you want to go. So Lot went, and Abraham said, oh, thank God. At last, now I obeyed him. Lord, now, even if my mistake, Lord, you're able to turn everything for good. And God said, okay, no problem. I called you to bless you. At least you learned, even if you took some time, at least you learned to fully follow me, not partially. Many people, they partially follow God rather than fully following him. That's why sometimes people end up in their life in some kind of mess. I'm not talking about sickness. I'm talking about some of the areas of our life. Because decisions that we make in our life are very important. That's why we have to learn to be led by the Spirit of God, led by the Word of God, and do what he is saying. Bible says, do not rely on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. You know, imagine if you feel like, you know, you want to eat some nice barbecue today. What will you do? You will go to your kitchen and you will cook. You will not just leave it to pray. Okay, I have prayed, Lord. Thank you. And I am going back home and barbecue will be ready on my table. You know, so you have to go and you have to cook it. Many people, the religion will teach us, just leave it to prayer. That's fine. And you just pray and that's fine. And you live the way you want to. And you take decisions in your life the way you want to. And it's okay if you fall. Don't worry. In the next morning you get up. Ask God for forgiveness. Night fall again. And then again and again and again. Up and down and up and down. By the time we are so broken that we have already given some openings to the demonic spirits in our life. And that's why people, they mess up so much. And they will say, oh, I was so praying person and I don't know why this happened to me. It's simply because we did not fully follow the Lord. One day God called Abraham up on the mountain. And then God, he was 40 days, 40 nights, he was there with God. And God showed him so many things in the heaven. And he showed him how to make the tabernacle and everything. And God told Abraham, do exactly according to I have shown you. You have to do everything exactly. This is how long it should be like. This is the colors you have to use. This is the height and this is the breadth. Everything God told him. So that he can fully do according to the God said. And that's why there was a glory in the house, and that's why glory came down, because he made sure that everything is done according to the way God has shown. Same way for our lives. We have to build our lives according to the Word of God. We don't have to rely just, you know, some people, they rely on their understanding. Oh, God understands everything. Yes, he does, but that doesn't mean that, you know, things will go right. You know, he has given us his word so that we can live and apply that word in our life. That will save us from so many problems that we go through in our lives. Bible says, seek ye wisdom. Wisdom is above all. Wisdom should be first in our life, where, you know, prayer is important, but word is more important than prayers that we pray. Many people, they just leave it to pray. And they don't do what Bible is saying. They don't talk what Bible is saying. They don't say what Bible is saying. They don't believe what Bible is saying. They just will make a prayer. So that is just religion. If we are not doing what God has called us to do, and the way to live our life, and the way to build our life, and the way to build our business, our family, our marriage, our children, there is a way God has shown us. If we don't teach children in the ways of God while they are so small, and we are so busy, and we say, oh, I don't have time for my kids, and later on what happens after 40 years, now we are praying and crying for them, we could have saved them just by doing what Bible says, when they are small, then they are children, when they are young, teach them the ways of God. So it's very important for us to walk in the wisdom of God that God has called us to live in. So Abraham, now he learned mistake. Oh, I should have fully obeyed the Lord. Why I took my relative with me? And then after a few chapters, again we see doing another mistake. Now he went with Hagar, and then Ishmael was born. And he thought, okay, fine. At least yeah, I used my way, God, somehow to receive your blessing because you were delaying so much. So I took things in my hand and I became in charge. And you see what happened later on. Then he had to learn a lesson and let Ishmael go, live his life like he sent Lot. You see, he was making some mistakes in his life, though he was a man of faith. And then you remember how he denied his wife two times, and he said, yeah, she's my sister, but he didn't say the other truth that was more important for him to tell, that she's my wife. He made some mistakes in his life, and as he grew up, and then he came, Bible brings us to Genesis chapter 22. This is where Bible says God one day decided to test Abraham and see if he really, really fears him. Let me tell you, there is a difference in obeying God and fearing God. Though they are so connected, but still there is some difference. We obey him because we know if we obey him, God will bless us. You know, Jesus, the first miracle he performed, he went to a wedding and there was no wine and the wine was finished, and Mary told the disciples, go to Jesus and do whatever he says. So as they did whatever he said, they saw a miracle. So we need prosperity, we need abundance in our life, and we call upon God. God, tell me, what should I do? Maybe some people need healing in their life. There was a man who was sick 38 years. And then Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And as he obeyed Jesus, he saw the miracle. Other man, he said, go and wash your eyes in the pool. You know, so he saw a miracle. So many miracles have simply happened because they obeyed Jesus. We obey him because we want to be fruitful. We obey him, we want healing. We obey him, we want good life and good children and good everything. And that is important for us. But there is a difference between obedience and fearing God. So now God wanted to test Abraham and say, let me see if he really fears me. And God said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Lord, here I am. So now he's learned a couple of lessons throughout his life that, you know, how much big price I had to pay every time because I partially obeyed God and I was not fully following him. Even if you partially obey God, that doesn't mean that he has stopped loving you or he loves you now 50%. He loves you 100%. Even if you fully disobey him, he still loves you 100% because God is love. But that doesn't mean that everything will go well in our life just by knowing God loves me. Because if he has given us all this scripture, all this wisdom that we learn from the word of God, if he has given us that, that means it's important because he loves us. He has shown us the way. And he says, this is the way to live. This is the way to be a Christian. This is the way you have to be in your marriage. And this is the way you have to be with your children. This is the way you have to live. And this is the way you have to trust. He has shown us the way, so that we can be fruitful and prosper in every area of our life. So by now he learned the lesson. He said, God said, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, God. Okay, go and sacrifice your son. Okay, God, no second question. I'm not going to ask you why. You said it, Lord, it's done. And he went on the mountain to go and sacrifice his son. And as he was just going to sacrifice, the angel of God spoke to him, said, don't harm your son. Don't touch your son. God now knows that you fear him. That's why he will
God says, I will surely bless you. That's when the blessing was connected in the life of Abraham, when God said, now I know Abraham fears me. We obey him because we see a benefit. But fear of God is completely different. Even if you don't see any benefit, you are still willing to do what he says.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, we read about their life and how the king passed a decree and they said, King, our God is able to save us, but you know, if you throw us in that fiery furnace, God is able to save us. But even if it doesn't, still I want to tell you, we'll worship the Lord, we'll obey the Lord, we'll not do what you say. They were willing to die in that fire
because they feared God. They were not seeing any advantage in doing what they were supposed to do now, what the scripture says, but they were willing to do that because they feared him. They were willing to lose their life because they feared him so that they can find life. Amen? So we obey him because there is a benefit. We fear him even when it doesn't make any sense to us.
Even if it means we are going to lose everything, even your property or whatever, or maybe they will throw us out from the country. That's what happened in the first century church. Many of the Jews, they left their country and they were spread out in so many other locations. So, you know, they were willing because they feared God. They were not looking, okay, if I become a Christian, how much benefit will I get? How much God is going to bless me? I remember one day I was in London. There was a brother from a Sikh family from India. His name is John. And I went to his house one day. I know that brother. And he was not a regular churchgoer, but I loved that brother. So every time I went to London, I made sure I visit him. So that day, evening, I was visiting him. That was Sunday evening. And he attended his church that morning. I went to his house. And his cheeks were, you know, very reddish. And he was looking so happy and all that. And he said, tell me one thing. I said, what? Is it true that if I give for in the house of God my tithes and offerings, God will give me back 30, 60, 100, 1,000 fold? You know, he was thinking, wow, what an investment. You know, and told me before. Now I have an opportunity, a sure opportunity. Even banks, we don't know when they'll collapse. But this government is there forever. And, you know, God's government. And he said, I said, yeah, God will bless you back. But, you know, give it out from your heart because you love him. Because you love his kingdom. You want his work to prosper. You want his work to keep going and moving forward. Give with this heart and definitely leave rest to God. He will bless you back. Because God is king. King never keeps your money. You know, when he gives back, he has to give back many, many, many times. Because it's not the glory of king to return just what you said. You gave to him. If you gave him 100 and he gives you back 100, that's not his glory. He's king. You know, many years back, I was in Abu Dhabi and one of my friends took me to see King's Palace. And so he showed me a few palaces and then he took me to his office and the king was inside. So you can know from the queue, there were many cars parked outside and some people were in waiting. And do you know, he asked me, he said, do you know who these people are? I said, I don't know. He said, they have come to beg to the king. They have come as beggars. I said, what do you mean? Maybe some of them are under debt, you know, $100,000 or $200,000 and they go to the king. King, look, I am the citizen. And you are my king, and this is my problem, and I'm not able to pay the bank money. And king say, all right, don't worry, taken care of. Maybe someone's daughter is getting married, and they have come to the king. I want my daughter to get married, and I have to give some gifts. So king, I have come before you, and king will say, all right, here is $100,000. Because the king has a lot of money. So I said, oh, I understand now. They're going to the king, not to any ordinary person. And when you go to the king, he'll not give you just a small portion. He'll give you a big portion. He'll give according to his riches and glory. Same with Christ Jesus. So let me come back to the life of Abraham. By now, he has learned the lesson. He said, even if I understand, I don't understand, I will do what you say because I fear you. Many years back, that was year 2004, I came to the Lord in 2002 while I was in Scotland. And I went to get settled in that country, and then I got saved, and next day God said, leave this job, leave this country, go back to India. So I went back. Fifth day I quit my job, I went back to India, and faced a lot of persecution, a lot of things happened. Then I moved from my city, that is city called Amritsar, that is in the state of Punjab, North India. From there I moved to another city, and I became a part of one church over there. And one day, there was a great man of God from U.S. He came to our city, Pathankot. And I was the one who gave him flower or bouquet or something like that. And so 2004 was the year. So he came for a 3 days conference. The first day he preached, he told about himself. And he was the president of evangelical churches around the world. And he had around 50 million members for evangelical church. I'm not sure. I forgot the number. It's a big, huge number. And he said, I'm the president, and I work with Bush, the president. And those days, elections were going on, and result was just going to come out. And but he was now in India. So I said, wow, what a man. He's the president of evangelical churches, the key leader. And he shared so many testimonies about his life. And then what happened? Next day, he was supposed to preach, and then he had to go back to U.S. because President Bush won elections again. They were not expecting it. So he won elections again. So he had a phone call from the president's office, come back. So he had to skip the meeting, and then someone else was ministering. I said, wow, what a man of God. And I felt so blessed. After two and a half years, he came on a TV channel, and on a regular TV channel, not a Christian channel. And he came and he said, I think it was Christian or something like that. I forgot, I'm sorry, because it's so many years back. He came on a TV channel and he said, I am stepping down from the ministry because I have been sinning in my life. Today, I want to say, I'm a sinner. I have asked God for forgiveness, but I'm not supposed to lead the ministry, so I'm stepping down. So then I came to know what sin he fell in. So it broke my heart. And I was very shocked. Being a new Christian, I said, how can this happen? A person who is so big and, you know, he's the president of evangelical churches. And how come this man fell in sin? So I was very shocked. Everyone was shocked. After a few years, he was restored, not back into the same position, but he was restored back. He came again on a Christian media channel. And a woman was interviewing her, and she asked him a question. She said, how come you fell in sin? Is it that you lost love for Jesus? He said, no, I never lost love for Jesus. Then she asked him why. He said, I stopped fearing him. I stopped fearing him. I loved him. It's like children love their parents, but they will do their own thing. And they'll come home and they'll say, oh, mama, I love you. Or dada, papa, I love you so much. Thank you so much. But they will do your own thing. And if you try to stop them, hey, why are you forcing us? I'm free. It's a free nation. How can you do that? You know. But on the other side, they will express their love towards you. And even if parents, even if they're not living with parents, they die, they're there to cry and they have pain and they feel grief because there was some love. That does not mean they were fearing their parents. That means of fearing is not being afraid. It's being reverence, honor, respect. Same with many Christians, many believers. They love God. They like singing Christian songs. They like going to church. They like his presence. They love his presence. Nothing wrong with that. It's important. But there is no fear. There is no fear of, if I say this, God will not be happy. He will not be pleased. Or that will hurt God. And I don't want to hurt God by doing something that is not right. So because I honor him, respect him so much, I want to do exactly according to what he wants me to do. So there is a difference. So not every person in the house of God fears God. But there are many who love him. Many who love him. A person who fears the Lord is a completely different person. Bible talks about so many people in the Old Testament, those who feared God. One was Job.
And when you look at his life, before he was tested, when you look into his life, he was blessed in every area of his life. Financially, he was blessed. He was a man of wisdom. His children were blessed. There was so much fellowship happening in the house. And he was highly honored and respected. You see that? Bible says he feared God. He honored God. Let me show you one promise in the Bible. If you can turn your Bibles to, if you want to mark it, will be nice. Psalms chapter 25 verse 14. Psalms 25. I want to read from two different versions. First, I'll read from ESV Bible. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. So covenant, when it speaks of covenant, every promise. Every covenant promise that he made to Abraham. In every area of our life. Even if not Abraham, other people will also receive some promises as a covenant. So everything added. And he said, I will make known to them my covenant. That means they will receive my covenant blessings in their life. Why? Because they feared me. Because they honor me. They do what I say is out of honor and respect, not always out of some advantage that if I do this, I'll be blessed. And if I give and I give hundredfold back, and if I do this, and yes, yes, I'm always waiting for a blessing. Not out of that. It's just out of reverence, honor, respect towards God, that I don't want to break his heart. I do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. So God offers his friendship. You know, Jesus said, spoke with his disciples. He said, I no longer call you my servants, but I call you friends. That friendship, not every believer walks in that friendship with God. You know, when I was 14, 15, I was 14 to 18, 19 years old, I was involved in so many fights. And I had my good friend of mine, his name was Manu. He's right now based in US. We were very good friends. I usually will sleep in his house at night, and we were together all the time. And you know Indian weddings, I'm not sure if any of you attended that or not. And a lot of food, a lot of stuff. So, you know, we just out of fun, we'll attend at least two marriages every day. That means we were not invited, but we were going to the marriage. Our morning we'll go to the gym, and then we are together, and then lunch we'll say, oh, I'm feeling hungry, let's find some marriage. So there are so many marriages, palaces, and very busy sometimes during the season. So we'll find some marriage and we'll go there, nice clothes, we'll wear our blazer and go and have some food and bless the couple. Hello, hello. So they'll be also wondering, who are they? We were so used to it. And every evening then we will go to some wedding, and if we didn't like the food, we'll find the other one, another one, another one. And then, so we get good diet and good juice and nice non-veg and all that. So we were just doing, it's not that we didn't have the money, but we just wanted to do something that is silly or wrong, or we wanted to enjoy this. You know, sometimes when you're living in sin, you like sin. You start, you know. So that's how we lived so many years. And we'll always stand for each other. We were very close friends. And I remember one day someone slapped me very hard, but I had no opportunity to strike him back because I thought this is not the right time. And my friend came to know about it. He came to my house. How come he touch you? Tomorrow, we'll take revenge. I said, fine. So he called rest of the friends, let's go and fight back. How can he touch my friend? So that's how we, you know, stood for each other. I remember there was a New Year season, and it was 31st December, and we were in one of the main market road. It was full, so crowded.
and we were drunk. And one of our friend was a boxer. So there were 14 or 15 boys standing, and we were three. And I said, why don't you show the power of your punch? We were just drunk. And he hit one guy, top, down, second, top, down, and third, wow, you know, three, four were down. And when other crowd saw it, they saw us as a troublemaker. They said, they are making trouble. Everyone came over us. I don't know where all they hit us. Next morning, I was up and I said, what happened to us last night? Then I had a little memory of what actually happened. And then me and my friend, we both were beaten badly and we were just taking care of each other for three, 4 days. So we were together in fights. We were together, you know, in sorrow. We were together in joy. And he knew everything about my life and I knew everything about his life. Even his parents didn't know everything about him. But I knew him because we are friends. No? You share everything with your friends. They know your secrets. They know your pain. They know your problems. They know your whatever rights and wrong. They know everything. And you are not afraid to share with them. So that's how we were. Standing for everything. And we're not thinking of, oh, if I become his friend and I stand with him, there is advantage. No, no, we were not talking about any advantage. It was just pure friendship. Same way. Now Jesus is offering us his friendship. And he said, I offer you friendship. Will you like to be my friends? And if you become my friends, there are certain things which only friends know, not servants. I don't share everything with servants, but I share everything what is mine with my friends. So Bible says the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. He makes known to them his covenant. And KJV says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. So friends know everything. Secrets of God is with those who fear him. So what happened in the life of Abraham? Not only did God bless him in every area of his life when he was old. You know, it doesn't matter what you're going through today. You must have a target. That Lord, one day will come in my life when I'll be blessed in every area of my life. Doesn't matter what I'm going to go through, but this is not the final. Amen? This is not final what you're going through in your life today. There is a great future that God has for you. And I'm not just giving you some for the sake of making you happy. I'm not saying something. This is what the word says. This is the desire of your heavenly Father. He wants you to be blessed in every area of your life. Bible says in KJV, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. He reveals to them his heart. So now when God knew that Abraham feared him, even before that, he knew. Bible talks about that before that also. So God said, because now Abraham is my friend, and I am going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, how can I hide it from my friend? He was not able to keep inside because tomorrow friend will say, God, you should have told me. Why didn't you tell me? So what that means, if you fear him, you will know what is going to happen in the times to come. You will understand the season you are living in. Problem is, many people, they miss their season. There is a season you have to sow. And you have to keep sowing and keep sowing. And you don't know which bread will work. You know, morning seed will work or evening, you keep sowing. You don't look at clouds. You keep on doing what God is asking you to do. And don't look at situations around, oh, you don't know, you know, situation is so tough and like this and my neighbors are like that and my relatives are like that. Is there anything too hard for God, Bible says? All we have to do is trust him. And as we trust him, we take a step forward. You cannot catch a fish without throwing the net. You see that? You know, we just leave it to prayer. Oh, God, bring some fish. God said, throw the net. I'll bring them in the net. You know? Just don't leave it to prayer. Take a step forward. Move. If you want some people to be saved, you have to take a step forward. Go and evangelize. Go on the streets. Go in the market. Share with people. Do something. Just let's not just leave it to prayers. God, save this world. How will they know unless until someone goes? This is the good news. Blessed are those whose the feet of those who brings good news. You'll be blessed if you do that. Many years back, I went back to Scotland where I got saved, and they moved the church to another place. So I was looking for the church, and the church was not there. And then I was looking, and then I came to a place, and the house, it was a house full. I said, oh, it looks like a big church inside. And there were two young boys with, you know, three-piece suit, pants, shirt, everything, nice clothes, tie, everything. They were ready. They're at the door, and I said, wow, hey, this look like real, some gentleman, some big thing is happening here. So I asked them, I said, there was a church over there. They said, we don't have no idea, but there's a church going inside. I said, which church is this? They said, Jehovah's Witness. I said, no, I wanted to go to another church. I went around 5 minutes, and I said, okay, let me just go and check inside what is happening there. So I said, okay, I'm not able to find, so can I come and attend? Oh, fine. So they brought me inside, and there were two young boys looking out from the window everywhere. I said, why they are so afraid, and why there are people around everywhere? So, and then I went inside, they gave me a book, and they offered me a chair. I was sitting there, a preacher was preaching. I was not able to understand anything, because it was just, meeting was going to finish. And I was wondering, what did he say, and why they are clapping like that? I don't understand. Because unless until there is a revelation, I don't understand, you know, what's happening here. So, but I was shocked to see that there was no Jehovah Witness church here many years back. And now other church is missing. And here they have a big crowd. You know why? Simply they went out and started fishing with the lies of the enemy. And they trapped so many innocent fish. And many Christians, they don't take initiative. They don't take a step forward to go and receive the promises of God. If you want to receive the promises of God, you have to take a step forward. You cannot have a children unless until you get married. You know, so you have to take a step forward. Lord, okay, bless my children. God said, oh, before that, you have to get married. You see that? So you have to take a step. Same in our lives. Same if we want people to be saved. Same if we want to see the blessings of God. Bible says, yes, by faith we receive what God promised to Abraham. But Bible also says, faith without works is dead. So he said, show me your faith by your works. I want to see, show me what you're doing. And then I will know you have faith. A person of faith will always be on the move. He has a purpose. He has a God's given target, and he wants to achieve something in life. Sometimes I know we go through pain. Every one of us go through pain. You going through pain. I've gone through pain. But we have to learn to shake it off and move forward. And move forward, and keep moving forward, and keep moving forward. Keep running towards the goal, and God will take care of the rest. You know, enemy is very clever. He always come to hinder us so that we will start focusing on one thing and we forget 99 other things that we were supposed to do. You keep on doing what God said. He will take care of the rest. I remember 2005, before I joined that church, I was not going to church from last 10 months. But I was praying and reading Bible and biblical books when I moved to another city. A man of God came to my house. That was the only time he came to my house. I believe that was God sent. And he stayed in my house that night. And before sleeping, he asked me, how's the ministry going on? I said, what ministry are you talking about? You don't know, I'm going through so many problems. I lost my family, I lost my house, I lost everything. And 9 or 10 false cases are filed against me, and people are coming with guns and pistols, and I'm going through all the threats, and you're saying, how's the ministry going on? He said, that's what you told me. God called you and said, go to India and serve me. I said, yes, I will do that, but I'm just waiting for my problems to come to an end. He said, who told you you should not serve God when you're going through some problems? Who told you that you should stop when you're going through some problems? And I thought, I said, no one. And not even the Bible, anything written like that. And I realized I am sinning against God. I repented that night and I said, God, I have been so selfish. I'm just thinking about my problems and forgot the world that is out there who has never heard about Jesus Christ in their life.
Next morning, I stood up and I went out and I started evangelizing. And then I became a part of the church. And within 6 months, I was the youth pastor in the church. Next 6 months, I was now assisting the pastor. And I was still going through all that. And it was not easy. It was so hard. But seeing the lives of people changing and how people were crying and repenting and God answering all the prayers gave me such a joy, I forgot all my pain. I said, Lord, even if I stay in this pain for next few years, I'm fine as long as you are touching these lives. Amen. And I said, I was so selfish. Just thinking, me, all the time. What about his kingdom? What about the desire of God? Most of the time we think, Bible says God fulfills the desires of those, heart desires of those who fear him. Of course, there is a blessing. There is a covenant promise that God has given. What about his desire? God spoke about David. He said, I have found a man who is after my own heart. He will do my will. That's why you see in the life of David, any enemy will come, or if he had to fight any battle, God, should I go? Should I go? I want to do your will. Should I go? My elder son, my both sons are very obedient, very good boys, and both are serving the Lord. My elder son, I asked him when he turned 17 or 18, I said, son, stop asking me this. You're grown up. This decision I know you can take right. You'll take right decision. And what was the decision he asked me to take on his behalf? Can I eat apple? Can I eat banana? I said, this is all yours. Eat it. That's why it's in the house. But he had this habit of asking anything he has to do. Can I go and buy a pen? Can I go and buy anything he'll do, he'll ask me. So I said, no, yeah, this you take and big decisions. And yeah, about your marriage, please discuss with me. So now he's in U.S. And I said, yeah, regarding marriage, please discuss with me. And I will help you and I will save you from so many problems because I've heard things hard way because I had no Bible. So today I'm very careful and I save myself from so many things by just trusting God and doing what he says. Some people say we learn lesson hard way. Why you want to learn hard way if there is an easy way God has shown us? We can learn from the mistakes of David and King Saul and other people and Abraham and all those people who made mistakes. God has openly revealed it to us so that we will not do the same mistakes. You don't have to learn hard way, a painful way. You can learn Bible way by following the ways of the Lord. By fearing him, honoring him, respecting him. Lord, I just want to do your will. Help me and lead in my life. And I don't want to walk in my own ways. I don't want my emotions to come in between me and you. And I don't want that. Sometimes our emotions are such a hindrance for us. I tell you, if you are a Christian, born again Christian, devil has no power to stop you. Only you have power to stop yourself. He has no power. Don't say, no, devil stops me every time I want to take a step forward. No, I never stop. I just move forward. I say, I know if someone will stop, that is me. And I had to learn to get above my emotions and above my pains and above my brokenness and above my fears and above my that I cannot do it and what will people say and what will they think. I had to get above all that. And do what he called me to do. Because I realized in my life, the greatest hindrance in my life is not my relatives, not my old friends, which are not there anymore. And not the devil, it's me. So when he wants to attack, he wants to attack you, your emotions. He will bring fears and insecurities and doubts and past failures and all those things he'll bring in your life, and he'll say, you cannot do it. You can't walk righteous life. I know you will fall once again. And then we start believing the lies of devil and say, oh yeah, I know. I will fall once again. Yeah, I know. I messed up last time. And if you live in that fear, you fall again because that's what you're believing.
Whatever you believe, you will see happening in your life. If you believe right, if you believe the word of God, you know what Bible says, First John chapter 3? It says, you know, those who are born of God cannot sin. One day I was reading this scripture. I said, you know, those who are born of God cannot sin. And I said, my God, it's there. So why I'm believing, oh, if I fall, yeah, God is so merciful, and he will lift me up again. I said, no, why not to believe this scripture? That if I am born of God, I am not a sinner anymore. You have to believe right. Yes, enemy will not be able to trap me. Yes, I will not fall in sin. Yes, I am like Jesus in this world. That's what Bible says. As he is, so are we in this world. Same authority, same power, same grace, same holiness, same Heavenly Father lives in us. Same Holy Spirit, same anointing. Everything that Jesus had, he has given us today. And many Christians say, oh, no, I don't have what Jesus had. No, you have exactly 100% whatever he had. And he said, greater works. He said, don't minus it. You know, you have to add it. Greater. Amen. So why we fail? Because we don't believe right. We don't meditate on the word of God. We don't think right. What did God told Joshua? He said, if you meditate on my word day and night, then you will be successful. That was, there is a if you can add there. And if you meditate on my word there, that means you have to think straight. If you think right, and you have to think spiritual, and you have to be led by the Spirit in your areas. Don't allow your emotions to lead you. Sometimes we stop talking with people. Why? Because they emotionally hurt us. And on the other side, God is saying, forgive. I want to forgive, but you know, my emotions are hurt. God said, get rid of this. It's fine. And you decide, not your emotions. You decide, not your feelings. So many times the problem is we go by our feelings. We go by what we feel, and I'm not feeling good, and I'm not feeling that. Yeah, sometimes I also don't feel good. But I know that's not the truth. The word is truth. If word says I can do it, so will I. If word says, even if I don't feel God, that's fine. Word says he is in me and I in him. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that means even if I don't feel him, even if I don't feel his presence, even if I don't feel him in my difficult situations, you have to believe that he's there with you. Many times when people go through hard times, they start having doubts in their life. Where is God? I think God is somewhere else. Maybe I made a mistake, or maybe I don't know. Maybe God is upset. No. Even if you made a mistake, he'll not leave you. He's a good father. He's better father than we are. A million times better. Billion times better. He is more merciful than any person who says, I love to do charity, I love the children, oh, they are crying and they are hungry. He is billions of times more merciful than them. So he will not leave you like that. He is there, and whenever you bow down before him, say, Lord, here I am, I come back to you. Say, fine, I was waiting for you. My eyes were always on you, and I love you. Lord, I love you. Yes, I know you love me, but I love you billions of times more than you love me. Have you ever gone through a moment in your life where you felt really a deep love for God? He loves you. He has a billion times more feeling than that for you. Amen. That's who he is. He's there. He's there by your side. He's there to help you and strengthen you. And he say, don't worry. Focus on my word. Look what I said. Look what I told you. You just focus on this. Let go of your emotions. Let go of these things and move forward. Emotions are not wrong. Thank God he has given us emotions. But don't allow these things to become a hindrance for you. For me, if you see my education background, you'll be shocked. I wanted to go and do theological studies, and God said no. After 6 months, another man of God came, another pastor came. He said, you must go for your theological studies. I
said, yeah. He said, no door will be open for you. You said God will take you to nation. It's not going to happen without that. I said, yes, Pastor, thank you so much. And I started looking for Bible schools, and God came in my dream. You are not going to any Bible school. I said, okay. After another 6-7 months, another person met me. So I tried 3 times. Then I gave up. I said, fine, God, I don't understand. Why don't you want me to go there? Nothing wrong in that. I encourage people to go there. But for me, it was a different way. And God said, you're not going. And for me, so now there is no theological degree. And even I messed up my studies in the school. I wanted to tell my teachers, you are not in control, I am in charge. I used to blow crackers in my school's restrooms. One day my principal punished me, and he offered me, he said, okay, go and ask your teacher forgiveness, otherwise get out from the school. So he was following me, I was going to my class, I took up my bag and I went out. He said, never come back. You know, I was a very rebellious boy. I remember, you know, I was in my year 9, a new teacher came and he started changing everyone's seat. Hey, you move from there to there. Then he came to my friend, we were sitting together. You move from there. He said, no, sir, I cannot change my seat. He said, why? He said, because I always sit here. He said, no, I'm the teacher, you're the student, you obey, you go there. He said, no, I'm not going to. So he tried to pull him out from the seat. And my friend slipped and then just got up from my seat. I said, sir, because you're a teacher, I honor you. See you after the school. And then the school was over. I was standing on the main gate. I forgot. I just said it. I didn't mean it. So I don't know what happened when he went to the, you know, the teachers have a time together when they're eating lunch and there are some free periods also. He came to know a few stories of me from the teachers. So he was coming out on his cycle and he looked at me. I was standing at the gate. He left his cycle there and ran inside. And he called other teachers, and other teachers came and started, you know, doing this on my shoulder. Oh, Shahi, cool down. He's your teacher. Cool down. And for me, I was not angry with him, but I just said it. That's the reputation I had in my school. So I wanted to tell my teachers, you're not in control. I'm in control. So I, when God called me and I said, Lord, how come you made a mistake? You should have called the boy in my class who always scored full marks, nearly full, 98%, 99%. Why did you call me? I'm such a failure. Look, see how broken I am. Look what my father did to me when I was 15 years old. He bribed the police and I was in the police station whole night. They put me in prison whole night. And my mistake was I only stopped my dad. I said, don't touch my mom. He got so upset, bribed the police, and I was in the prison whole night. He did that 3 times to me. I said, God, how can you call me? No education. Look how broken I am. And I was not even able to, you know, speak any poem in front of my teachers or the students in the class. I was so afraid. I used to tremble. I said, God, how can you call me? And God asked me to leave everything aside. Leave your past. Leave your failures. Leave your mistakes. Leave your brokenness. Behold, I am going to do a new thing in your life. And today God is speaking to you and saying, behold, I do a new thing in your life. Doesn't matter how broken you are. Doesn't matter how hopeless you are. Doesn't matter how difficult situation is. Doesn't matter how many times you messed up in the past. That's it. Let's do a new beginning. We are not going to focus on our past. You know, the biggest mistake we do is we keep on looking at, oh, you know what happened to me. You know what happened to me 10 years. It's fine. If we are encouraging someone, do it in an angle of encouragement, not out of a brokenness. Yeah, that happened to me, but I am still strong in the Lord. I have not given up trusting Him. Amen. This is how you have to see. My God will set me free. I know He's able to turn every situation around. Because Jesus is still seated on the throne. He's still there. As long as it doesn't matter, you know, some will say, oh, maybe there should be a change of president. Fine, if you want to change, that's fine. But Jesus is on the throne. And that's where we are focusing on. That's where our help will come from. If the local government is not helping, fine. We'll go to the heavenly government. Jesus is not only the king in the heavenly government. He's also the king on this earth. That's why Bible says, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Can you give the Lord a clap offering? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we go to him. He decides. Not our government or not the system. You know, I was here last time and on one billboard I saw advertisement. Cheap divorce, $500 only. I look at it, I took a picture. I never seen like things like that in India. Because India, yes, there are divorces, but it's very different. It depends sometimes, some areas, it's easy to get divorces. In our area where we are, it's not easy because the whole family is involved. Mother-in-law, brother-in-law, sisters, cousin, relatives, and mother's cousins, and everyone. They all get involved somehow to keep those two people together. Here it's a solo life, free life. Everyone has their own life. No one interferes. We take our own decision. But India is very different. Like even if they decided to take a divorce, the relatives will come. And second day, they will call other relatives. We try to tell them. They're not listening to us. You go. They will come 20 hours from their place, catch a train all the way just to help the couple. They're not Christians, but this is the family system we have over there, just to help those two people be together. Because they feel this is a blessing, this is something we should do, and we care, and this should not happen. So many divorces, maybe more than 90% of divorces, even though the couple have decided, never happens simply because there is a lot of family involvement back there. Oh, forgive or leave it. Okay, whatever done. Oh, we take a guarantee. Don't worry. She will not do it to you again. The boy will not do it. No worry. We'll help him. He will listen one day. Don't worry. You keep up. You keep going. You know, so that's how many. But this time when I arrived in New York a few days back, I was just reading one newspaper. On that it is written 50% discount. $250 only for divorce. I thank God there was nothing little like limited period. So that if you want to divorce, do it quickly because we are giving some discount. And I was shocked to read it. I said, oh man, Lord, who can change this? Jesus can. If we believe, if you believe and I believe and we together pray, the Holy Spirit will come down. And New York shall be saved. You know, they're beautiful song. If you believe and I believe and we together pray, the Holy Spirit will come down and you shall be saved. We have to believe. God is looking for someone who can believe. Who will say, Lord, I believe. I believe you're able to do it. And start it with me. Start in my life. And God will. And if you believe, what will happen? God will make a story in your life. Story. And even if you don't have word to preach, you just share your story and people will be saved. That's what he did in the life of Abraham. What he did? He made a story because he trusted God. He relied on God. He said, Abraham, let me write a story. Daniel trusted God. God said, let me write a story. Every person who trusted God, today we listen to their stories, read their stories, and our lives are changed. And so many lives are changed. God is going to change your story. As you give your life into his hand, he will say, okay, let me write it. You tried your way? Fine. Now surrender to me. Let me do it my way. Shall we stand on our feet? Even as you're standing on your feet, this is a time to surrender to God and say, God, here I am, I surrender. You write story of my life. You write story. And I promise you, I'll share stories. I'll share this story with everyone. Look, see what God has done. Not only I, my generations will share this story with the next generation of what God did in my life. That's what we hear today about Abraham. He feared God and his story has been shared all these thousands of years. God wants to write story in your life. all your troubles, all your pains, He is going to change it into a beautiful story. And He's saying, if you surrender your life like a pen in my hands, I am going to write a beautiful story of your life. And I will get all the glory. And I will get all the praise. And He's waiting for it. Not only through your mouth He wants to receive praise, but through your life story. When the world listens and then the angels look at what God is doing in your life, they will also say, glory to God. Wow, amazing ways of God. How He's able to do, may He makes impossible possible in the lives of people. Even only if you surrender, even only if you say, Lord, I know I love you, but maybe you are someone who is saying, but I'm not fearing you the way I'm supposed to. I say whatever I want to say. I insult anyone I feel like. Because I've been led by my emotions. I never allowed your Holy Spirit to lead me. If you don't allow Holy Spirit to lead you, you will not never be able to reach your destiny. Never. I'm not saying you will not go to heaven. It's not just about going to heaven. It's about finishing the work that God has given you on this earth. There is a mandate. There is a work God has for your life. And that should be our heart desire. Lord, help me to finish it all, whatever you gave me. That was what Paul said. He said, I have finished my race. He was running for that race. He was running for that reward. He was running for what God gave him to fulfill the vision that God had given him. This house must have a vision of God. And if there is a vision, you must be the vision carriers. One vision. You know, sometimes I've seen some churches, so 50 people have their own vision. How will the house stand? In one house, there should be one vision. And we run with that vision. And that is a powerful church. Imagine five members in the family and everyone has their own vision. The house will be divided. Same way, if God has made you part of this church, you should be the vision carriers. Lord, this is what you gave, and I am going to take it forward. I'm not going to look at negatives. I am going to look at negatives and say, what can I do in this area? Maybe I can pray for this area. Maybe I can pray for, I can do something. I will go and reach out to people. I will evangelize. And that's what I did, though I had no... I remember I was not a youth pastor yet, but 7-8 months, morning till evening, I was going to people and evangelizing and moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and delivering people and setting people free just because they are my Heavenly Father's children. And I connected with the vision of the house of God, and I saw myself prospering there. Some people will say, I don't have much. No, even if you have little, be faithful in that. God will give you much. You know, God will not just give you like that. Take it. He'll say, no, let me see how much you can handle. You know, I didn't give my children, say, all right, here is 500 pounds. You know, when he was 4 years old or 5 years old, I gave them 1 rupee and 2 rupee, and then he started growing, and I said, okay, 10 rupees, and then I said, okay, 100 rupees, and then one day gave him 500 rupees note. You know, Father, don't you have small cash? I said, no, I don't have, but I know you will handle it well, and I know you will spend rightly and give rest to me, because they build up their trust. Same with God. You know, He wants to bless you, wants to use you, but be faithful in what little you have today, and God will bless you. Just close your eyes, lift up your hands and say, Lord, here I am. I surrender my life to you. Lord, I repent today. If someone has to repent, please repent today. Lord, I know I loved you, but I have not been fearing you the way I'm supposed to. I was not trembling at your word, Lord. Fearing God means trembling at His word. It doesn't matter what your emotion says, what your relative says, what the devil says, but you are trembling and you will say, Lord, who am I to bring my emotions in front of you and say, Lord, look at this. That's why I'm not going to do it. No, Lord, I fear you so much. Doesn't matter what my past has been. Doesn't matter how hurt I am. But I am going to move forward. And I am going to do what you are calling me to do. I am not going to allow the fears and doubts to come in my mind. I'm going to do exactly you say, because I trust you. The day I got married with Ritu, I told her one thing. I said, don't trust me too much. Trust my God whom I serve. He will keep me. I taught her, I said, trust God for me. Because if you trust Him, you will never be put to shame. If you only trust me, I don't know what will happen. So if you trust Him, this becomes His responsibility to keep me for you in this pure covenant of marriage. So let's set our eyes on God and let's say, Lord, I will fear you and I will honor you and sorry and I repent this morning, this afternoon, Lord. I have lived, made so many decisions wrong ways, but today I will not rely on my understanding. I will do exactly as your word says, as your spirit says, not as my emotion says, but as your spirit says. Bible says, those sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. God, because I am your child, I am your daughter, I am your son, so I will be led by your Spirit, not by my emotions, not by my feelings, not by my pain. Because many people, they are so broken, and I've seen some people, they are broken and they get into a new marriage. And because that brokenness, they are still carrying. And then the next marriage, they also have that same brokenness. So today, come to God and say, Lord, here I am. Heal my broken heart, Lord. I don't want to react because of the pain I went through in my past. Because some people, they carry that pain. And now they start a new life. And that pain now comes in their life. And their marriage again is so broken. Because, you know, one day I was thinking, how come some people are married 3 times, 4 times, 5 times? Again, the same story is the brokenness they are carrying in their life. And today, I just want to pray the healing of God upon your lives, in your emotional area, in Jesus' mighty name, that enemy will not be able to use this in your lives. In Jesus' mighty name, that you will move forward with courage and boldness in your life, trusting God and fearing Him and honoring Him. And He has promised that. Bible says, friendship of the Lord is with those who fear Him. Secrets of the Lord God reveals to those who fear Him, like He revealed to Abraham. How can I destroy Sodom and Gomorrah without speaking to my son Abraham? And God even told him that your descendants, 400 years, they will be as slaves. But I will deliver them because I can't hide from you, Abraham. I have a plan for their lives. I will bring them out with great silver and gold and a lot of money. And that's what God did. He revealed it to Abraham. As you start fearing God, you will start knowing the secrets of His heart. And He will make known His covenant. And like Abraham, there'll be a story written about you. Like God blessed Abraham, Bible says, now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Lord, I speak blessing over your people. The blessing that came upon Abraham. And through Jesus Christ, now we have come into a right standing to receive these blessings in our life. And even as we honor you and fear you and walk in friendship with you, Lord, these all blessings are mine in Jesus' mighty name. These all blessings are your people's, Father. Help them, lead them in their life. May they arise up strong to take the land. To let them not think down at themselves saying, Lord, I am so weak. No, no, focus on the one who is in you. He is strong. He is strong. He is more powerful than any evil out in this world. Lord, I pray, may they arise up to the full stature of Christ and what He has done for them and what He has given them. In Jesus' name, I rebuke the lies of the enemy from their minds. Be free in Jesus' name. Free right now. Every stronghold, be broken right now in their brains, in their mind, thinking patterns that develop as we keep on living in one thing for so many years. We develop a certain way of thinking. Let it be broken right now. Let them think the way God thinks, because Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Lord, let them think the way you think. Let them see the way you see. Let them walk the way you walk. Let them live the way you lived on this earth. Let them love the way you loved. And let them fear the Heavenly Father. the way you feared him, that you were willing to even go on the cross and you said, Father, possible, take this cup away from me, but not my will. Yours will be done. I fear you so much that I am willing to go on the cross just to do your heart desire and why you sent me on this earth. Father, I thank you. Give each and every one in your hands. In Jesus' name, I speak healing over their lives right now. Even people, anyone sick here, I speak healing over them. Even those who have not been able to come today. Lord, let there be healing in this house right now. Because Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price. Lord, we are not going to suffer. It's not fair for us to suffer. You paid it, Lord. We claim it right now. And we believe and we trust you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, speak healing over everyone in this house, Father. May their families prosper. May they prosper financially. May they prosper in their giving. And may they be able to give many, many, many fold for the work of God in the house of God. Lord, I pray their children be blessed and their children's children be blessed, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, I speak it upon their lives because curse is taken on the cross. Father, I thank you. I give you glory, honor, praise in Jesus' name. And everyone say, Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What a beautiful, simple, basic word that if we take and apply to our lives, will change our lives. Amen. Before we leave, I don't usually do this, but I'd like to receive an offering to bless our brother. If the ushers would come down. You know, this is a kind of word that needs to be shared over and over and over. And you know, it takes finances to do that. So we want to just support our brother in his ministry here and back home. Father, I thank you for this word this morning. I thank you for bringing our brother Vikram here and sharing this with us to restore so much in our lives, Father, that the enemy has robbed us in our thinking. Father, that we would, yes, depend solely on you and fear you enough to know that you have everything under control, regardless of what it looks like, what's going around us. So as we receive this offering, I pray that you would multiply it, that it would be a blessing to our brother's life and his ministry, and we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for that word. What does it say? Does it say that, you may have even said it, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? It's the beginning of wisdom. Fear him. Fear him. You know, that reverential, beautiful fear. Amen. Well, we're going to spend some time in the cafe. It'll be open. A little time of fellowship. We can love on each other and bless each other and just enjoy a cup of coffee and something. So we invite you to join us in there. Amen. Amen. God bless you.